on Liberty Works Radio Network.
104.3 FM is WOGF Inglis, Ocala, Gainesville, with the news you need.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host. Happy Saturday morning to you. It's a pleasure to be with you again. The Freedom Above Fortune radio show comes to you courtesy of Frank Talk 104.3 FM, as well as worldwide on the Internet, courtesy of Liberty Works Radio Network. Tell your friends they can listen to the great network, supporting it at www.lwrn.net. Liberty Works Radio Network brings you radio programming you will not hear anywhere else. We would certainly appreciate your support at Liberty Works Radio Network so that this kind of radio programming can continue. When you visit lwrn.net, please consider clicking on the Join Donate button in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage. And given the many blessings that God has bestowed on our country, I dedicate every show to our Father in Heaven. So I always start the show by praying as Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Well, as my listeners are more than likely well aware, our country is in deep trouble, and I fervently urge everyone to pray for God's blessings on our country. Let's redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. I invite you to join my email list by visiting my website at freedomabovefortune.com. You can click on mailing list on the left-hand corner of the homepage and join the mailing list. You can also visit agentfortruth.com for various information about myself. But briefly, a little bit about myself for those that are new to the show. I'm a former special agent with the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Division. I no longer work for the IRS because during the last 2 years of my service there, I performed an off-duty investigation into claims that the income tax laws did not actually require most Americans to file federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, and that the IRS was actually deceiving the American public about their true income tax obligations. After gathering and analyzing a mountain of evidence, I concluded that these claims about the federal income tax system were largely true. And when I asked my IRS supervisors to discuss my conclusions with me, they not only refused to have any discussions with me whatsoever, but they also encouraged me to resign from the agency. So my IRS career came to an end rather abruptly in 1999 when I did resign from the Internal Revenue Service. And I've been speaking about my experiences and conclusions regarding the federal income tax and other liberty-related matters ever since. I'm featured in a film called America, Freedom to Fascism, a film that's very, very available on the Internet and has been seen by millions of people. And it takes a provocative look at the Federal Reserve and federal income tax systems. So I highly recommend that you watch that film as soon as possible if you haven't already. And if you have watched it, you should be doing everything you can to spread that word to others that they'll watch it as well. You can type in the words America, Freedom to Fascism into a search engine on the Internet, and you can watch the movie for free or order your own copy at freedomtofascism.com. My guest for the first hour of the show is a gentleman named Tad Lumpkin. Tad is the producer of a film called The American Dream. He's also the co-director and co-writer of the film, along with a gentleman named Harold Yule. And first of all, welcome to the show, Tad.
Oh, thanks for having me, Joe. Pleasure to be here.
Give a little background. Basically, it was last summer, July And I was invited to go to the this Freedom Fest, which happens every year. I think it happens in Las Vegas every year, but it may travel around a bit. But it's called Freedom Fest, and had some friends that had a booth. Basically, it was the Robert Bernhoft Law Firm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's the firm that defended me in my trial and helped me to show the jury my innocence. We're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but it seems like it's more having to prove your innocence, but that's another story. Anyway, I was there, and I had the great opportunity to get a pre-screening or attend a pre-screening of this film called The American Dream. And also was great to be able to meet Tad Lumpkin, the producer of that film. And, you know, my sons were there, and we got to, see the film. And it was neat to, you know, get a sneak peek at what was going on. So I wanted to have Tad on the show and talk about the film and, you know, spread the word to all my listeners about this this great masterpiece, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure Tad is in love with it too. It's an animated film, and it basically explains the monetary and taxation systems and how they're basically joined at the hip. And I know Tad can explain a lot more about it than I can. So Tad, why don't you tell the listeners first about yourself and how you got involved in the project. We have about 6 minutes left in this segment. But please go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah. Well, you know, about myself, I'm an entertainment executive and have been working in Hollywood for a little over the last 10 years, and learned a lot about how you make high quality entertainment, which is in and of itself, you know, I think something that takes a lot of years of practice, understanding, you know, where what goes into making a good film, what goes into not, how to tell stories. And after doing that, and after having, you know, written things by myself, some of it not very good, some of it kind of good, I figured out know how to tell stories and develop characters and get people interested in something. And and Harold, who is a longtime friend of mine and is someone, he and I have worked on stories over the years, and he's a writer as well, and that's what he does as a profession. And so the two of us worked on many stories and scripts over the years for more just standard filmmake, standard films, and not to do anything to do with politics. And after having that relationship and being good friends, we also, as over the last 10 years that we've known each other, have both become more politically passionate. And one thing that I've always been really interested in, and Harold to a degree as well, was the Federal Reserve System and how that worked and how the economic system of America works. It's basically being predicated on Keynesian economics, central banking, fiat money. And, you know, as time went on, and especially kind of losing belief in the system working and the fact that I feel like most of the candidates running for president or Congress or anything, it doesn't really matter who you vote for, you end up with the same thing because you're all kind of bought in to this system. And after really, Ron Paul's run and steering me towards reading a lot about Austrian economics and a lot about the history of these things, I really became, it kind of all came together for me, and I said, people have got to know about this. So I looked everywhere, on the internet, and I found all of these films, that explain all of these things, the Zeitgeists and all these films that, explain them. And the information is largely out there. But my two cents was, I don't think we're going to get millions of people, which is what we need to really ever make a difference, outside kind of the core sort of liberty-type movement, to go to watch these films. Some of them come off as conspiratorial, they're long, or they're really academic and they look like, you know, a bad PBS special. And, you know, or they're not going to read, you know, Hayek. They're not going to read Murray Rothbard. They're not going to read these people. That's just not how most people spend their time, is reading Austrian economics books. At least that's not where they start their passion. So what we wanted to do was make something short, entertaining, that had a story to it, but also filled people in on some of the underlying problems of what's going on. And so we came up with the idea of doing something animated, which I think automatically makes people, it's very visual, you can do something really different. And we wanted to do basically a narrative documentary, so that way we could tell a story, get people involved in characters, but give the information through the storytelling. And make it, you know, 30 minutes long, so that way it's like, boom, hopefully we get you engaged, and then that will drive you to be motivated to go read some more, which we then lead you to kind of the second step and the third step to go to kind of go down the rabbit hole and learn more about this stuff. But we couldn't find anything out there that did that. And that's where our sort of inspiration initially started, is we sort of came from that point of, what if we do, how would we do something like that? And then that was sort of the beginning genesis of the idea.
So did, was it, not that I'm looking for competition, but as far as between you and Harold, I mean, you guys both were aware of this issue, and you'd probably just talk about it, you know, here and there informally. And then since you both had these skills and the career in this area, it's just like, hey, you know, we could make a film about this. Or did one person pay more attention to the monetary system and tax system than the other?
Well, we both became more and more invigorated about a much more pure libertarian stance, and you know, Harold was no fan of the IRS and knew that the Federal Reserve, just its blanket of secrecy and everything, didn't seem like a very honest system to him. I'm much more of a, you know, I've studied more economics. I've studied more the math and mechanics of how that stuff works. I mean, you know, I'm a junkie for business news, political news, and things like that. So to me, Harold knew something was wrong and was, you know, a writer and did more, you know, more writing as a daily event than I did. And I knew how the system worked. Like, I understood more the mechanics of how debt liquidation works versus stimulation, and how, you know, gold is used to back money versus fiat, and what that means on a globe, and how you expand the money supply, how a bank can expand the money supply through fractional reserve lending. So I knew the details on that, and so what we did was that we would go through and we could figure out the story points, and then I could make sure that the information was correct. And we did a lot of research to make sure that I wasn't missing anything either. So but we both had a passion for it, and then it each kind of had a little bit different set of point of view coming to the table, but neither of us were fans of the entire premise of central banking or the IRS when we the income tax in general. Neither of us were fans of that when we came to the table, and we just sort of crafted a story around points that we thought were important.
I see. Well, yeah, and the reason I asked is just because it, you know, you kind of cross-pollination of skills and knowledge, and of course, you know, you might be able to be a little more on the technical side to make sure, you know, facts are accurate, and yet Harold, you know, just knowing something's wrong and being a writer, being able to really prepare a package that, you know, the average guy who doesn't know a squat about this might understand. Anyway, we've got a break coming up. Our guest is Tad Lumpkin. He's the producer of a film called The American Dream. The website is theamericandreamfilm.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Thank you for joining
us. Live is the morning program on the radio all over the country, the great WABC in New York and the Fox Business Network, and a new affiliate, WIFL 104.3, Frank Talk, 104.3, news, sports, and more.
Glenn Beck, Frank Talk, 104.3, best-selling author, Mark Levin.
That's what we call crap. Get off the phone, you big dope.
Frank Talk, 104, news, sports, and more.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercurys to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at fordofocala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
Remember the good old days when you'd go to the neighborhood butcher, he'd cut the meat fresh, right on the slab. You'd ask him for a steak cut a special way, he'd cut it. You're looking for some homemade sausage, and you'd get it. Chopped meat, right out of the grinder. Well, Bellevue Meats is the place to go. Their number is 347-2102. They're located in Bellevue, right on 441. For meat the old-fashioned way, Bellevue Meats.
When we think of the word den, automatically you see a cozy room familiar to you, welcoming a safe place, like home or maybe a lion's den, a protected place, familiar, comfortable, just like the insurance den. Get to know the friendly folks at the den, the insurance den. Let the trusted professionals at the insurance den shop the best and most affordable deal for you to fill all of your insurance needs, from homeowners to boating, flood, and all of your business concerns, including full umbrella coverage protection. Once you become part of the den, you'll have comfort in knowing that you are fully protected with the most reputable companies and hands-on service from the insurance den. Don't renew your old policy until you contact the den, the insurance den. Chances are we'll find you savings the others have missed. Call the insurance den now, 352-628-2331. That's 352-628-2331. InsuranceDenOnline.com.
With the national debt climbing to an estimated $11 trillion, the White House announced an emergency economic plan today, trading the national gold reserves for cash through precious metal buyers, cashforgold.com.
I got $583 from cashforgold.com.
As you know, we have these very large debts, and the fact is the gold reserves are just sitting there. This woman turned in her wedding ring from her first marriage and got money the next day. If it worked for her, it can work for the United States.
How much does the federal government expect to receive in exchange for all the gold? And that the Treasury Department should have looked into competing cash companies like dollarsforgold.com.
The reality is we have over $1 trillion in economic stimulus packages
to pay for.
We just need that cash now. The president agrees that this seems like a pretty good deal.
But is there a contingency plan if that proves not to be the case?
Well, yes, of course.
The cash received from the cashforgold.com plan is going to be supplemented by funding from the selling of White House furniture on Craigslist.org.
Well, that is correct. We've already sold a giant military map that we don't use very often.
Peeling back the layers every day with Frank Talk. 104, news, sports, and more. The official home of Glenn Beck, Don Imus, Alex Jones, Mark Levin, and the hosts of Liberty Works Radio Network.
Our life-sustaining star. The sun is now entering into a phase of increased solar activity. Those solar flares cause a thickening of our ozone layer, which at times causes radio signals to literally bounce off the layer and travel hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles from its local location. These occurrences are normal as our sun enters into the peak of the 11-year sunspot cycle in 2010. The results of this increased solar flare activity may cause power outages, cell phone dropouts, and radio and television station interference. So if you're listening to your local radio station and you hear another radio station on that same channel, just take comfort in knowing that more than likely it'll only last for several minutes. Just a friendly reminder from the fine folks from planet Earth, three clicks from the sun, in the Milky Way galaxy. Oh, and us here at Frank Talk 104.3 too. Now go have some fun.
104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is Tad Lumpkin. He's the producer of The American Dream. It's a an animated film that is, at least it's available on the internet. I was talking to Tad before the show, and it's basically qualified or on the qualification list for the Academy Awards, 2010 Academy Awards, to at least be considered, and that's the first step, and so we wish them much luck. Should definitely win an award as far as I'm concerned, but they probably wouldn't have me on the judge panel. Anyway, during the break, Tad and I were talking about, well, basically about the truth and about lies and where the monetary system and income tax system fall. So, Tad, why don't you, let's talk about that as far as what you said about the truth and what you said about lies, how people can tell one from the other.
Well, I mean, you know, in all of my experience in this, you know, the truth is always simple and understandable. And when things are extremely complicated and you can't really reconcile them, that's where you got to start to raise your suspicion of it being a lie. And you know, giving you the example, you know, people watch medical shows on television, you know, reality shows where you're inside the emergency room and they're explaining to you what's going on. I think we'd all, whether we're you know, doctors need years of school to learn how the human body works, because the human body is a very complex machine. It's got a lot of things going on. It's not something that probably most of us are going to be able to achieve in our life. And so the people who do it are extremely smart and study for years and years and years to understand exactly how all these things work. But the beauty is, if you go in and you have a problem, even a brain problem, which is, you know, one of the most complicated, you know, portions of organs in your body, and you sit down and you're sitting with a competent doctor, that doctor can explain to you, here's what's wrong, here's how we're going to treat it and approach it, and here's how that should hopefully fix your situation. And he can explain very, very complex organism to you in a straightforward, simple manner that you can understand what's happening in your body and how they're going to approach fixing it. When someone, you know, that simplicity lends itself to, you know, it being truthful. Like, that's the truth, just tends to be simple. You look at something like, you know, the income tax code, and the reason it's 70,000 pages or whatever it's up to right now, it's at least that many, is because it's not truthful. It's about political. It's a political weapon with raising revenue as its, you know, side benefit. But it's primarily set up to hook up people who are in favor and to dissuade people who are not in favor. Not only that, but within the it being so complicated, I don't think anybody, no matter how many accountants and how many lawyers they get, would ever be able to necessarily agree on exactly how much tax they owe. I mean, it's purposefully almost a gray law that always leaves the opening for you to be persecuted, whether you've done anything wrong intentionally or unintentionally. I mean, there shouldn't be so much unintentional, oh, I missed a line, or and then all of a sudden now you're a criminal. That doesn't, none of that makes any sense. As much as I hate the income tax, the more honest version of the income tax, at least I would think maybe there's a level, it's a bad tax, but at least it's a, you know, the people who are running it have a better intent. if we add a very simple tax, a very, you know, flat tax, and that's it. And everybody knows I'm paying exactly, you know, 10% or 15% or whatever, and it's real simple, and it's filled out on a postcard, and, you know, there's really not a way to mess it up. I would still prefer not to have an income tax at all, but if we're going to have one, at least I don't question the truthfulness of what it, of its intent to be a revenue raiser versus a weapon of mass destruction to anybody who sort of gets in its way or challenges things too much. So, you know, when it comes to truths and lies, I think it's that same thing. I mean, you can explain the way that someone runs their home finances, you know, whenever you use, want to kind of poke a hole in sort of central bankers and Keynesian economics and all these brilliant guys who, you know, went to Harvard or wherever, and they tell you that they know so much and it's too complicated for you to figure out. I just always use someone's home finances and, you know, as an example on it. And I say, well, if you and your spouse both have a job, and then your spouse loses their job, and now you only have half as much money coming in, do you go borrow money on your credit cards and your house to stimulate your short-term income so that then you can grow your home economy? I mean, think about that. No, you go and you cut your standard of living so that you can survive through the period until your spouse gets a new job. Why does the government not do the same thing? Why all of a sudden the government has a totally different set of physics and gravitational rules than you do as an individual? It's things like that. It's just like, think about it in simple, relatable terms. And it's like, forget, you don't need to know all the math and graphs and charts and formulas. And it doesn't, none of that stuff matters. It's like, that's the lie. You don't need to know all that stuff to understand how economics works, and anyone who tells you does, you know, thinks they're smarter than they are. May be an outright liar, but probably just has a high opinion of themselves.
Well, and you know, the simple and relatable that you speak of is exactly what the American dream does. I mean, and that's what's such a what makes it such a powerful tool. Let's get into the film and how it goes about doing that. How can we tell the story, or you know, how much of the story should we tell where we still leave everybody hanging so they'll go out and get a copy? What's the genesis of the story and how it makes it simple and relatable to the average viewer?
Well, I mean, the idea, what we started with was, is that we wanted to make the person that we were showing, revealing, kind of pulling up the curtain, very relatable. So, you know, we took someone who we start out kind of during the last boom. He gets a new house. He gets a new dog. He gets the yard with the picket fence. He's living, you know, he's getting the delivery of the American dream, and, you know, he's enjoying it all. And, you know, snap forward a little bit later when that all comes crashing down. He loses his house, he loses a dog, he loses his job, you know, which is what's happened and happening to a lot of Americans right now. And we sort of, when he's kind of lost everything financially, then, you know, that's where we sort of bring in what I use as kind of our almost ghost of Christmas past, but our navigator, who kind of shows us why all this happened. And part of it is our lead character, you know, he didn't manage his own finances. I mean, part of it is definitely his fault. I mean, the system relies on the weakness of human beings too, to say, oh well, you know, politicians tell you can have it all, and that you should have this and you should have that, and you should have, you know, you're entitled, you know. And that part of it too is that they kind of soften you up mentally to go beyond what you know, maybe in your heart, you know, you should be doing as far as saving your money and be diligent. But that's just an element, because part of this system kind of predicating itself is psychological warfare as much as it is the system inherently being corrupt itself. They need the psychological participation of of America to go along with it. And so we sort of show how, you know, how we've kind of become conditioned to a certain mentality of what the American dream is, why we're owed it, how we think we get it, and frankly, what is has been stealing it for many and will steal it for many, many more when kind of this all catches up with us. And you know, we go basically on a journey through, you know, sort of history and show people that a lot of this battle is not a recent phenomenon. I mean, this is the battle about, you know, central banking, the battle about taxation, the battle about, I mean, the straw that broke the camel's back and started the Revolutionary War was a tax. You know, I mean, people, we've been arguing about what's justifiable fair taxation for the entire history of the United States of America. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, which we touch on all these points, but Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton argued in the first Congress, and the multiple times framing of the United States of America, you know, about whether we have a central bank or not. And, you know, they took the time to write into the Constitution. There were not very many amendments. And, you know, one of them was about taxes, you know, and that you couldn't have an income tax. And, people, you know, there's a wide array of debate as to how legitimate the 16th Amendment necessarily is to reverse that. But, you know, it was that big a deal that of not a very long document to found this country, not having an income tax is important enough for them to put it in there. So, and the fact that money's supposed to be backed by gold and silver. I mean, these guys address all this stuff. It's been going on before the founding of the United States of America. It is a long, long problem. So the idea that, like, today's global economy and, oh, now, again, now it's different. It's there. You hear people say that, oh, this last housing, you know, run up. Well, it's different this time. It's different. It's not different. It's like the same. It's the same things that people have been arguing about for, you know, since the invention of the currency based money, which by our research is, I don't know, about 1,000 years or so old, and. You know, I mean, it's been going on ever since then, and people have been trying to game the system ever since then. Ever since there were banks, there's been a problem. So,
that's certainly something that the film depicts rather well, is that the ongoing nature of the battle and how this nothing new what we're experiencing today. And how some of those words of Thomas Jefferson, ring so true today. Which is another thing I like about the film is the historic aspects of it, where you actually, not only are you entertaining people, but you're teaching them history, and you're showing them that this battle is ongoing. It's a lot of times the people are the loser, but there are always these contingents of people who know the score and see that the bankers and this banking system, the monetary system, are the root of the problem. And it's like President Andrew Jackson, who's featured in the film, it's amazing what they will do to root out the problem. We've got we're just about to a break, so I think we better maybe wrap this up. And talk about the next segment, but just to let all the listeners know, the website is theamericandreamfilm.com. So the THE is in there, theamericandreamfilm.com. Producer is Tad Lumpkin, who's our guest today, and I've already seen the movie a few times. I actually have a pre-screen copy of it. And we're just trying to generate interest and let people know that this is a fantastic film, fantastic tool to educate our fellow Americans. There's a big problem out there, and this film would do a great, great thing for the country. Everybody could see it. So our guest is Tad Lumpkin, and we'll be right back after these messages. We really appreciate you joining us.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler, apologizing for the pain and suffering he caused, then sentenced to die. A Connecticut man convicted of a brutal home invasion. Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso live with the latest.
Jane, Stephen Hayes made that apology in New Haven Superior Court before the judge sentenced him to death by lethal injection for the robbery, rape, and murder of Jennifer Hawk Pettit in 2007 and the murders of Hawk Pettit's two teen daughters. Prosecutors say Stephen Hayes and an accomplice, Joshua Komisarjevsky, tied the girls to their beds, poured gasoline on them, and set the house on fire. Komisarjevsky goes on trial next year, Jane.
Thanks, Jeff. An out-of-control wildfire kills dozens in northern Israel. Fox Radio's Courtney Keeley, live from Jerusalem.
Jane, Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu has sent in the military and asked the leaders of Italy, Cyprus, Greece, and Russia to send emergency firefighting help. Huge black clouds of smoke are raining ash over parts of Haifa, the third largest city here. 40 casualties are reportedly prison guards and prisoners on a bus who are being evacuated, trying to escape from the fire zone. The bus flipped over, became engulfed in flames. Hundreds wounded are rescue workers and firefighters. Villages have been evacuated, with the fire still raging. Jane?
Thanks, Courtney. A Pentagon report on repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell under scrutiny in the Senate. Fox Radio's Jared Halpern, live from Washington.
The Republican opposition to lifting the ban on openly gay service is led by Senator John McCain.
Two-thirds of the Marine Corps combat armed troops voiced these concerns about repeal.
McCain's skeptical about a policy shift during wartime, but Defense Secretary Robert Gates argues if not now, then when?
I don't see the world getting to be a safer, easier place to live in where our troops are necessarily under less stress.
Racial integration in the military was implemented during the Korean War, Jane.
Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
What's wrong with working hard to make our lives and our kids' lives better? Nothing. At Fox Business, we don't have a problem with success. We have a very big problem with those who get in the way of it. We don't come out of the box bashing those who make money, just the politicians stealing it and the bureaucracies wasting it. We're not just sitting behind a desk. We're out in the field, on the floor, with the folks. Because when a story moves forward, so do we.
Fox Business, the power to prosper. Check your local listings.
As Americans, no matter what our faith, we have faith in our country. A country where our freedoms are blessed, cherished, and protected. Where we believe life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are our inalienable rights. Rights endowed by our Creator. We are not afraid to believe. Our beliefs unite us as a people and as a nation. They allow us to move forward.
It's sentencing day for New York Congressman Charlie Rangel, the House Ethics Committee recommending censure for his failure to pay taxes on some property in the Dominican Republic and other violations. A House vote coming on extending the Bush-era tax cuts as administration and congressional leaders continue to talk compromise. Fox Radio's Rich Johnson, live from Washington.
Well, Jane, in the past hour, the House has passed the rule which allows the underlying tax bill to come to the floor. This after Maine Democrat Shelley Pingree led the charge to lose what she calls undeserved tax breaks for upper-income Americans.
That has weakened our economy, placed a bigger burden on working families, and has only been effective in making the rich richer.
Republicans say the Bush-era cuts helped small business owners and should be extended for all. Most believe that's what will happen after the final House vote later today. The House vote taking place even as White House and congressional negotiators keep talking compromise, Jane.
Thanks, Rich. King James coming back to Cleveland, where Cavaliers fans are still burning about his move to the Miami Heat.
They're still stinging from the decision and James leaving his team of 7 years.
I moved to New York, and I watched a decision in New York, and they hate him just as much there. So you're not safe anywhere, partner.
Among the big questions, will LeBron do the talcum toss in front of his former home crowd? In Cleveland, Darren Toms, Fox News Radio.
Throwing talcum powder in the air, part of LeBron's pregame shtick. The U.S. was in the running, scoring the 2022 World Cup. Qatar, Russia hosting in 2018. Well, guess who got a Grammy nomination for Best New Artist? The teen who launched 1,000 haircuts, maybe more, Justin Bieber. Eminem getting the most Grammy nods with 10, including Album of the Year for Recovery. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. AgentForTruth.com and FreedomAboveFortune.com are the websites where you can learn more about this show and the host. Our guest is Tad Lumpkin. He's the producer of The American Dream, an animated film. It's about 30 minutes long. Completely, totally awesome tool to educate the public and entertain the public while they're being educated. The website is theamericandreamfilm.com. So there's a T-H-E at the beginning, theamericandreamfilm.com. So back with Tad. Well, we have some pretty good conversations during the breaks. But maybe we could talk a little bit more about the story itself, and then I'd certainly like to talk about, Hollywood people and what your experience is with them, what they've, the ones that have pre-screened the film, that kind of thing. So anyway, first about the story itself, just as far as we talked about the history and how it does revisit the history of money and taxing systems. Maybe we could fast forward to the present, where I love the way it ties in, how the bankers were affecting the Revolutionary War and, affecting America, where we think that we revolted and we're free of those terrible chains, and now those chains have been, re-riveted around our necks.
Yes. Well, the reason why the history is so important is, you can take all these quotes and because this battle raged on between these guys who had lived this, before, and it's like you just have an endless amount of commentary on all these same things we're having a conversation about today. And, Thomas Jefferson, and we use the quote, the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed by both the blood of tyrants and patriots. And I think the thing is that, hopefully we don't need a lot of revolutions. I don't think he's saying, oh, hey, let's go have big revolutions, all the time and, have all this violence so that we can maintain our liberty, because I don't think anybody wants to live in a violent culture either. But I think what he is saying is that, no matter how great a document, no matter, whether we've got, a constitutional republic or a, parliament or this or that, but something that instills a liberty-driven society, no matter how great someone draws that up and how perfect the words are and everything like that, the bottom line is that it takes a vigilance by people to protect their liberty. Now that can be maintained if people are vigilant about being educated, making sure they're putting the right people in office, keeping track of what those people are doing, throwing people out, being willing to go protest, being willing to have civil disobedience. Things that aren't violent, but keep the system very much in check in an ongoing daily basis. Then the things don't get way out of whack anymore. But historically, if you look around today, right now, you look through all of history, freedom is always under attack. Always has been. It always will be. So if people aren't going to defend their own freedom and, quote, refresh the Tree of Liberty in a regular basis, then they're going to lose their liberty. And I think, what's partially happened is that we've had a real long, good run in America. And I think that people, when you get kind of, as a nation, you know, a little bit fat and happy and drunk on, you know, all these systems, even though they're long-term going to crush us. You know, for a while it's like, hey, let's commit ourselves to a whole bunch of things we can't pay for, and until the credit card bill comes due, well, who cares? It's good time. So, you know, I think everybody gets really comfortable in this want-based society, and they just they stop being vigilant. They stop having those, you know, those little revolts of just, you know, mentality and some good you know, good protest and disobedience and putting the right people in and things like that. And, you know, and then you end up with kind of where we are now, where you just end up with this, all the problems can be solved in D.C. Let's create these bloated bureaucracies with these great mission statements of you know, whatever it is. Oh, I want all the children to be educated. Well, I don't know anyone who doesn't want all the children to be educated, but I don't think that a gargantuan tax and spend bureaucracy to build a huge educational complex run by the government is the way to do that. So I think what we all want is society where we have, where everybody gets, you know, has a great shot and gets great education. I don't think that that happens that way. So, you know, it's, but somehow if you're, you know, against, if you're against a bureaucracy, now you're against education. And that whole mentality, just like if you're against the war state, that means you're not a patriot. And it's kind of like those things people got to get out of their head and start to be like, what is America about and what made it and, you know, makes it special? And it's this idea of liberty. So, you know, I think those are the things, and that's been going on for a long time. So those comments, I think, are as relevant today as they were when they're made. And other people make them today. But, you know, the fact Thomas Jefferson was making them 200 and some years ago is kind of cool.
Yeah, because we collectively are experiencing exactly what he said.
Yep.
And it's really sobering. You know, when it's one thing, because I remember as when I read that first when I was maybe 17 or 18, and at that time, you know, in my life, and maybe even in the larger scale of the American economy, you weren't feeling it as much, and so it didn't ring in the same manner in your head. But when you're really seeing the you know, the devastation happen, and that literally our property and all these things are at risk, and then you think, now he said this so long ago, and then it proves what you said earlier, that you know, history is going to repeat itself.
Yep.
And that this is an ongoing battle, and you know, that's why I think it's so important for the film, how it shows the history, and it really gets to people. It's like, oh, you know, so yeah, I can see history repeating itself right before my eyes.
Yep.
And you know, a 30-minute film is going to bring people to, you know, to that conclusion, which is awesome. I also wanted to ask you about, you know, because you work in Hollywood, I always wonder about Hollywood types, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, you know, people who work in Hollywood, who live in Hollywood, people that are responsible for making films, making TV series, you know, bringing to us those things we see on television or in movie theaters. What's your experience with, you know, so-called Hollywood people in general, and how, what percentage would you say are actually, you know, active and interested in these kinds of issues?
Well, you know, overall, you know, most of, obviously by its both its reputation and you know, my experiences is that, you know, Hollywood tends to be a, I'm going to say, highly Democratic state, I guess, you know, for the Democratic Party, and they use the word liberal, which is true, and some elements of it are liberal in the classic liberal sense of civil liberties and everything. But I tend to find that, you know, people, and it's no different in Hollywood, because I find the same thing in, you know, the having lived in, you know, states that are much more red. We excuse the guy who plays on our team for his behavior, and we condemn the guy who plays for the other team for the same behavior. And somehow there's this just Homer mentality about, you know, guys who are, you know, these great speech giver, you know, liberal-minded people. And I find that out here, and, you know, as it relates to, you know, Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, or, you know, I think that they love what the guy says as far as the great speech and the better world, and I think that they think that that's their guy and that's the side of good. And what I find is, but they're mad at the same things. They're mad at the banks. They're mad at all the same things. The biggest thing I find, though, is that they tend to be very much convicted to the fact that there's two sides. There's the Republicans are the bad guys, and there's the Democrats are the good guys. Because the Democrats, even if they're fallible, well, their intentions are good, and that they want this just world. And the Republicans are, you know, the greedy corporatists at the top who want to steal everybody's wealth. Well, that may or may not be true about some of the Republicans, but I think they're giving the Democrats far too much credit. And I think that when I've shown the film to people who are like that, of which I have many friends and I debate with on a regular basis who've been avid Democrats, they watch it, and it's not a right or left issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's not a Democratic issue in the sense that we're making the Republicans or the Democrats or the modern-day right or left out to be the good or bad guy. We're saying, guys, all of them, all the speeches you listen to, they're not even telling you what the real problem is. And I've shown this thing to the actual most visceral reactions do not tend to come from, you know, the more libertarian-minded crew is like, you know, oh, that's great, or some of them are so academic they can't see the simplicity of the whole thing. they tend to be the least affected audience, which is fine because I didn't make it for them. The most affected tends to be the passionate person on the right or the left who's interested in what's going on in the world, doesn't even necessarily have all the answers, they just feel like, you know, we got to do something because these problems are out there. And they watch it, and that's the people's eyes who really open up. And, you know, they don't necessarily go run out and say, hey, I'm ready to sign up and be a libertarian across the board. But they are definitely, every single one of them, I mean, I'd say to 100%, walk out and they're like, you've got to be kidding me. That's really how it works. You know, and I always challenge people. I go look it up. You know, I mean, don't even take my word for it. Go ferret it out yourself. Go search, just start Google searching the internet. Go find some books. Find someone who you're like, who you feel to be reputable, and see if they don't, you know, argue exactly this same argument. And so that's we've gotten fantastic response, and that's why I feel like if we can get a lot of people to see this film, and we've made it as cheap as we possibly can, because we want lots of people to be able to see it. I mean, we made it for people to see. I mean, that's why we made the thing. And
and speaking of that, because we only have about a minute left, let's let people know just real concisely how can they get the film, you know, what the price is, or how to do that, and how some ideas about how to distribute it.
Yep. Well, you can get it from the website, theamericandreamfilm.com. You know, we're selling it for $5.99 plus basically our shipping and handling costs, which the shipping and handling goes down a little more the more copies you order. But I mean, we're doing this thing basically as cheaply as we can possibly get it out there for, because our hope is that, you know, $6, people will watch it and buy one and take a risk and see if it's something that they like. And then if they do, hopefully buy some more copies and pass it around to their friends, and hopefully their friends will watch it and show it to their friends. I mean, we feel like asking people to spend $6 and give us 30 minutes is a reasonable request. It's, you know, it's a lot more reasonable, I think, than a lot of other things, which are like, give me $25 and give me, you know, 3 weeks, you know, to read this book or whatever. So it's very simple and it's very easy, and we've made it as simple and low impact as we can.
Fantastic. Well, our guest has been Tad Lumpkin. The website is theamericandreamfilm.com. We're really out of time, Tad, but thanks for joining us, and we'll see everybody for the next hour.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over